strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. The Bible tells us, be thankful unto Him and bless His name. The Bible tells us His name is as ointment poured forth. The Bible declares, and His name shall be called Jesus. The Bible declares, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and hath given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Come on, say that name one more time. Jesus! Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm so glad I got to come here today. I was talking to one of my dear friends from Texas yesterday. He said, well, do you got to preach tomorrow? I said, no, I don't got to preach. He said, so you're home? I said, no, I'm going to preach. You said, you don't got to preach. I don't got to, but guess what? I get to. Come on now. And I'm so glad God allowed me to come here to this great church. I love you, I honor you, I bless you, but especially our pastors. I love and appreciate our pastors. Come on, let them know you love them. Come on, church. God bless you. Hallelujah. And I want to say a special thank you for those that minister and helps. The praise team, the ushers, the sound system, those behind the scenes, the nurseries. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. When you begin to praise Him, something begins to happen. When you begin to praise Him, things around you begin to change. The atmosphere is charged. I'll put it like this. When praise goes up, glory comes down. When praise goes up, healing comes down. When praise goes up, miracles come down. When praise goes up, victory comes down. When praise goes up, healing comes down. Now, a number of years ago, my little mother. Now, when I say my little mother, she was definitely my little mother. She stood 4'9" when she was wearing 3-inch heels, standing on her tiptoes. But she got born again when she was 3 years of age, and baptized in the Holy Ghost when she was 5 years of age. She was a powerhouse for God. But when my mother was 88 years of age, it was on a Saturday night, and my little mother was struck down. She was struck down with a massive stroke. It just so happened that two of my sisters were there at the time in her house. And they called the paramedics. They took my mother to the hospital. And when they got her there, they said because of her age, 88, and because of the severity of the stroke, they said she probably won't even make it to the night. Well, I've got two words for you. But God. Yes. Come on, say those two words. But God. And the next Saturday, my mother was laying there in the intensive care unit. Tubes and machines hooked up to her body, having suffered a massive stroke. The left side of her body was dead. It was paralyzed. Her face was all drawn up. Her speech was slurred. And the doctors came in. The medical staff came in. And they were looking over at my mother. And they began to say it. She could hear them. And people, my sister could hear them. And they would say, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Well, thank God they left the room. And when they left the room, my mother looked over to my sisters with that slurred speech. And my mother said this. It's time to praise the Lord. They said, but mama, just lay back and take it easy. She said, it's time to praise the Lord. But mama, you don't feel good. She said, we don't praise Him because we feel good. We praise Him because He is good. And all of a sudden, my little mother, she could not lift up that left arm because it was paralyzed. And she said, but Father God, I can still lift up my right arm and praise to You. I love You, my God. I bless You, my God. I praise You, my God. I exalt Thee, my God. I extol, hallelujah. I love Thee, my God. Hallelujah. And she began to praise Him more and more on that Sunday afternoon. And all throughout Monday, my little mother kept on praising God. And Tuesday, my mother kept on praising God. As my mother was praising God on that Tuesday afternoon, all of a sudden, the healing power, the healing grace, the healing virtue, the healing anointing of our great God came down and touched my little mama, and she was completely made whole. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah! When we begin to praise Him, something begins to happen. Come on, somebody. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Come on now. I will bless the Lord, for He is worthy. That everything that is breath do what? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. Till somebody say, you better get ready. You better get ready. You better get ready. Would you turn and be pleased tonight to 1 Kings chapter 18. Once again, that is 1 Kings chapter 18. As you find your place, let me say this. Thank you so much for your giving. You that have given, I pray that God will give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and then a whole lot more. Amen. First Kings. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, 1 Kings, chapter 18. Beginning with verse number 30. If you're there, shout, I'm there. If you're not, just look up. There it is. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near to me. Now I love that. But in the Message Bible, he said, enough is enough. It's my turn. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he built a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces, laid them on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and in the wood. And they said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And they said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar. And it filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant. Now I've done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. Again, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the waters in the trench. When all the people saw and they saw the fire fall, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. It's time to get back to the altar. I said, it's time to get back to the altar. The fire will fall when we get back to the altar. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is life-giving. Your Word is life-changing. Father, I believe tonight, because of Your Holy Word, we will never, ever be the same again. We thank You now. We bless You. And all of God's people said together, amen. The fire will fall when we get back to the altar. Now the prophet of God, Elijah the Tishbite, he called for a showdown on the top of Mount Carmel. It was Elijah, one man, against 850 prophets. The prophets of Baal, the prophets of the grove. And they assembled the top of Mount Carmel. And Elijah told the people of Israel, he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. But if Baal be God, then serve Baal." He said, "We're going to have a showdown. And the God that answers by fire, let Him be God." And Elijah said, "Okay, you go first." And the false prophets, they went first. They called upon Baal all day long, but nothing happened. They began to cut themselves. "Oh Baal, send down the fire," but nothing happened. They began to cut themselves. They began to shout and dance about, but nothing happened. And Elijah began to mock them. Elijah said, "Well, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe your God is on a vacation. I love the Living Bible. Maybe your God is on the toilet. Come on now." But there was no fire that came down for the prophets of Baal. And then the Bible tells us that Elijah called all the people. He said, "Come near to me. It's showtime." And the first thing, he did several things. Elijah called for a showdown on the top of the mountain. He took the limits off of God. He set things in order. He waited for the perfect time of the time and of the evening sacrifice. He knew who God was. He knew who He was. He said, "Lord, I've done all these things at Thy word." But what was the very first thing that Elijah did? The Bible tells us in verse 30 that he repaired the altar of the Lord. Altar. In fact, the word altar is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. That's enough for every day of the year. Come on now. Let us get back to the altar. And he repaired the altar. Now what is an altar? The altar is not just a pretty, pious piece, a formalistic, fashionable furniture, and a solemn, sanctimonious sanctuary. No, but the altar is a meeting place with God. The altar is a place where God does alterations. Come on now. And from Genesis to Revelation, we find the word altar mentioned. The first reference of altars is found in Genesis, the first book. The last reference of altar is found in the last book, Revelation. Because, my friend, God is saying in this hour, it's time to get back to the altar. What happens at the altar? At the altar is where God changes our life. Where we say, "Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done." At the altar is where we cry to us, "Oh God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." At the altar is where we cry, "Oh God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." At the altar. The altar what? The altar of prayer. When we begin to pray, something begins to happen. When we pray, God will make a way. Let's begin to get back to the altar. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they built altars. David and Solomon, they built altars. Also, but we found the men of God, they built altars under the Most High God. At the altars where we cried, "Oh God, take out the old and put in the new. Oh God, take out the Jacob and put in the Israel. Oh God, take out the stony heart and put in the heart of flesh." It happens at the altar. Now, some time back, a young girl went to her very first wedding. And after the wedding, the little girl said to her mama, "Mama, well, yes, dear. Mama, why did the bride change her mind?" "I've been to some weddings before. I wish the bride would have changed her mind." Come on now. Why did the bride change her mind? What do you mean, darling? Well, the bride went down to the altar with the old man and lived with the new man. And that's what happens, church. We go to the altar, we lay down the old man, and we pick up the new man in Christ Jesus. When we go to the altar, something happens. And hear me, like Elijah, he built the altar, and it's time we begin to rebuild the altars in our homes. Now, growing up, some of your parents and grandparents, they had family altars, but what about today? Let us get back to the altar. The fire will fall when we get back to the altar. Men and women, they come to the altar and they become husband and wife. But when's the last time you as a husband and a wife came to the altar together? We bring our children down to the altar for a baby dedication. But when's the last time you brought your baby down to the altar? When we get to the altar, something is going to happen. Come on, somebody. When we begin to pray, I'll say it again, God will make a way. But how often do we pray? Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The apostles said in Acts 6, verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. Notice what Jesus said. Notice what the Apostle said. Notice what Paul said. He said, always, continually, without ceasing, we're to be in prayer. I'm not talking about necessarily at the altar of the church. But when you're driving in the highways, guess what? You can make it an altar. Flying across the skyways, you better make it an altar. Come on now. But when you begin to pray, something is going to happen. What happens? The Apostle James wrote in James 5, verse 14, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, a righteous church in this area, it avails much. Come on, shout amen. But when we don't pray, guess what? It is a sin. Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, what happens when you pray? The Bible tells us, call upon me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. When we begin to pray, when we begin to pray, I'll say it again, it's time we begin to pray like never before. I've got about 6 pages of notes. I'm going to put them away. It's time we get back to a place of prayer. William Seymour, the man who helped to usher in the great Azusa Street Revival, he was living in Houston, Texas. And while he was in Houston, Texas, William Seymour, for 2.5 years, he prayed right at 5 hours a day. Then the Lord spoke to him and said to go to Los Angeles, California. He went to Los Angeles, California, believing God for a mighty move, a mighty outpouring. He said, Lord, what do I do? He said, my son, begin to pray, but I'm already praying. He said, pray some more. And for the next year and a half, William Seymour prayed roughly 7 hours a day. And we have the great revival that happened there at Azusa Street. It's time that we leave Sesame Street and get back to the praying at Azusa Street. Come on now. It's time we leave Rump Room and get back to the upper room of prayer. When we begin to pray, something is going to happen. Come on, somebody. Now, the Presbyterian Church today, for the most part, is like chicken, crackers, and ice cream. Dead as chickens, dry as crackers, and cold as ice cream. But when the Presbyterian Church was started under the leadership of John Knox was a man full of the Holy Ghost. And Mary, the Queen of Scotland, said concerning John Knox, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England put together. And John Knox, before he started the Presbyterian Church, he was so concerned about his nation, Scotland. By the way, my roots are from Scotland. I've got the spirit of William Wallace, Braveheart, freedom. But John Knox had such a burden for his homeland, Scotland. And behind his home in the woods, there's a tree that had fallen down. And he would make that his altar. He would go there so often to pray. This one day, he was so burdened for Scotland that he went to the woods to pray, but it had snowed the night before. And there was about 8 or 9 inches of snow on the ground, but he could care less about the snow because he was so concerned about Scotland. So he went to the place of prayer, that tree that had fallen down. And John Knox knelt down in the snow, the deep snow, and he began to pray fervently, "Oh God, give me Scotland, lest I die. Give me Scotland, lest I die. Give me Scotland, lest I die." When's the last time you prayed like that for your sons and daughters and loved ones? Come on, church. He said, "God, give me Scotland, lest I die." The effectual fervent prayer, the fiery prayer of a righteous man avails much. And after several hours of praying like that, when John Knox got off the ground, the snow had melted to the ground 6 feet all around. The cause of the fervency of that man, and revival broke out in Scotland. Come on. Oh, if God did it before, He can do it again in Eastern Kentucky. Come on, shout amen. I've got a good friend of mine. I've preached for him a number of times over the years. Pastor John Kilpatrick. John was pastoring a church in Pensacola, Florida, Brownsville Assembly of God. And for 2.5 years, he called for a prayer meeting on Sunday nights. Now you can have a soup supper or a fish fry. Everybody would show up, but not for prayer meetings. But for 2.5 years, he called for prayer meetings and started with a few, but it began to grow and grow and grow. And they began to pray every Sunday night. They had all night prayer meetings 2 or 3 times a week. And John personally, I've known him for years, and John would pray 4 and 5 and 6 hours a day. Oh God, we need revival here. We need revival. And guess what? Revival broke out. Jude of 1995, and that revival became the longest running revival in American history, with over 4 million people coming through the doors of that church. When we begin to pray, something is going to happen. Come on, talk to me, somebody. I said, something is going to happen. I said, something is going to happen. Let's get back to the altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Whoo, glory to God. Now, there was a man about 100 AD. Now, the temple had been torn down in roughly 70 AD, but here was roughly about 100 AD. And there was a holy man. There was a sage, there was a seer, a great man of God by the name of Honi. He read the book. You need to. It's called The Circle Maker. And Honi was a holy man of God. And everybody knew that Honi could touch heaven with his prayers. And there was a drought in the land that did not rain for over a year in Israel. Every river, every lake, every stream, every creek, every mud puddle had dried up. And they went to Honi time and time and time again. Would you call upon God? But he didn't move, didn't budge. Week after week, they called upon Honi, called upon God, but Honi didn't budge. Month after month, he didn't budge. But finally one day, they saw him coming. They came to where the old temple was, the temple grounds, the temple ruins, and Honi, the ancient, elderly man of God. The age old, that man of God came. He had a 6-foot staff in his hand. He kept walking up there. And people knew something good was about ready to happen. And Honi took that 6-foot staff, held it down, and drew a circle. Drew a circle. He then stood in the middle of that circle. He cried, "Oh God, I'm not going to leave this circle until you send rain." And all of a sudden, the raindrops begin to fall. Woo, come on, shout amen. A few trickle. He said, "Lord, I'm not talking about a few dewdrops. Lord, I said, let the rain fall." And immediately, like massive thunder clouds,
And it began to rain so hard. He said, Lord, I'm not talking about that kind of rain either. But God sent us Saul, ease the gentle rain that had come and refresh his land. And immediately it changed. And the drought was broken. Why? Because prayer. Come on, somebody. What about you, church? It's time that we begin to draw some circles. I'm not going to leave this circle till my family's saved. I'm not going to leave this circle. Come on, somebody. Let's begin to say, Lord, let's get back to the altar. Now, last Sunday, I was ministering in Las Vegas. I wasn't gambling, I promise. I was preaching. Come on now. But when I was there in Las Vegas, I've been there many times before. By the way, I was staying at the Trump Tower. Come on now. But when I was at the church last week, one of my good friends, by the name of Sergio, he's a great man of God. He's a powerful evangelist. And he just come back from Nicaragua. I've been to Nicaragua on different occasions. But Sergio had just come back from Nicaragua a few days before this. And I said, Sergio, what's happening? What's been going on? He said, I just came back from Nicaragua. I said, tell me about it. He said, well, we were going to minister in this small area, this small town. And we had permission to use this open field. But when we got there, the mayor who owned the field, he changed his mind. Said, you cannot meet there. And we had everything ready. We had everything, you know, promoting everything. But he said, no, I've changed my mind. You cannot do that. And so Sergio asked the pastor, he said, is there any way we could have a meet with the mayor? Well, I'll call, but probably he'll say no. But sure enough, the mayor said, come on in. And so here they were, Sergio and the local pastor in the mayor's office. And Sergio looked over the mayor, and the Lord began to talk to Sergio about the mayor, through the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said, years ago, the mayor and his wife and children were in great danger. Somebody was ready to kill them. But the mayor prayed, oh God, if you'll spare lives, I'll start going to church and I'll live for you. I'll serve you. But he's never done that. He looked at him and he saw inside of his body, he was racked with cancer. And there he said, what do you want? Why do you want to see me today? And Sergio said, mayor, before I ask why, can I tell you something? He said, what is it? He said, the Lord told me years ago, you called upon the Lord and said, Lord, go spare our lives. They're ready to kill you. We'll start serving you. We'll live for God. We'll come to church. But you've never done that. And also, the Lord told me, you've got cancer to your body. And nobody knew that because he was going to Honduras to the doctors there. He said, but if you'll surrender yourself completely to the Lord, he'll touch you and he'll heal your body. The mayor said, yes, 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 yes. And he prayed with the mayor. The mayor got saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, one more thing, mayor. You've given us permission to use the field. One more thing. What is anything on the opening night? You've got to get there before the thousands of people and tell them, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to accept Him as well. Come on, shout amen. Well, the second night of the crusade, it had not rained over a month there in that part of Nicaragua. And the pastor said, Sergio, I know you're a man of God. Would you pray that it would rain? He said, I'll pray that prayer. He said, no, not back here behind us. Say, wait till you get out there in front of the people, the thousands of the people, and you tell them you're going to pray. You're going to pray the rain down. He said, okay. And Sergio goes out there. He said, it's going to rain. They looked at him like there's no clouds in the sky. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. If it doesn't start raining, I'm not a man of God, and I'll leave Nicaragua tomorrow morning. He said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, let it rain. And immediately, it began to rain. He said, Father God, let it hold off to after the crusade is over tonight, and it's not raining. Come on, shout amen. when we begin to pray, something begins to happen. Come on, somebody. It's time we get back to the altar. It's time we get back to the altar. I said it's time that we get back to the altar and begin to spend time, quality time, in the presence of the Lord. My little mama, I mean, she was a mighty faith giant. But my little mama, I mean, she was young. And there was no Pentecostal churches in her area when she was growing up, but she was still baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when my mama was 18 years of age, she went to Bible college. She went to Asbury. A great revival broke out there last year in Asbury. But when my little mama was in Bible college in Asbury, the Lord said to her, "My daughter, yes, Lord, what is it? I want you to start tithing. Lord, I'm already a tither. I give a dime of every dollar. I'm not talking about that, my dear. I want you to tithe." "But what do you mean, Lord? I want you to tithe of your time to be in prayer." "What do you mean, Lord?" "How many minutes are in a day?" 1,440 minutes. And when she was 18 years of age, Lord told my little mama, "I want you to tithe. Oh, I want you to tithe on your time." No, how much is that? That's 144 minutes. That's 2 hours and 24 minutes. And for the time that mom was 18 to the time she was 94 and got promoted, she prayed a minimum of 2.5 hours every day. Sometimes 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 hours. I would wake up in the middle of the night and I could hear my little mama in the next room, just a hiccup of shine. Come on now. In the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I come home drunk as a skunk and I look up, mama's over me praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on. I'm talking about, I mean, people like that, it'll change your life. Come on, shout amen. Now share this morning a brief tidbit of my testimony. I was arrested many, many times in and out of city jails and county jails. The state penitentiary twice as a teenager. I was an alcoholic. I was worse than that. I was a drug addict. I was worse than that. I was a registered Democrat. Come on now. Lighten up. But I served time in prison. I was a rebel running from God. I was a prodigal running from the Father's house. And I was going to go to court facing 5 felony charges. And I was facing roughly 40 years in the Alabama state penal system. And the court date was set up for November of 1971. But thank God they put the case off. They put the case off to March of 1972, and thank God they did. But in November of 71, my 72 friends of mine from Montgomery, Alabama, we went over to Atlanta, Georgia to buy some drugs. We had a whole lot of money. El Mucho had a lot of money to buy a lot of drugs. Back in those days, I was an entrepreneur. Come on now. But here we were. We're going to buy the drugs, and we're waiting for these guys to show up at a certain time. And we waited. The time came. They weren't there. They said they're probably stuck in the line of traffic. We waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, 25 minutes or so roughly. They weren't there. And I said to my friends, I said, "I'll be back in a moment. I was going to go to the car." The car was, we're down in a place called the Pavilion at Piedmont Park in Atlanta. And there's a slight little hill. And our car was maybe from here to the back of the sanctuary, the little hill there. You couldn't see the car from where we were. So I went to the car to get something. As I walked up to the car, as far as the eye could see, there was nobody there. But I walked up to the car, and I reached the visor to get something. And when I looked back, found this close to me, there's a man there. Oh, God. I looked at him. I held in my hand. I looked at him. And he said these words, I'll never forget as long as I live. He said, "I am sent from the presence of Almighty God." Wow. I am sent from the presence of Almighty God. Do not go back down to the Pavilion. I say, do not go back down to the Pavilion. I turned for a moment to put it back. When I turned back, he was gone just that quick. But I heard those words going over and over and over again. I'm sent from the presence of Almighty God. Do not go back down to the Pavilion. I said, I think I'll stay here for a while. And I stood there beside the car. How long? I don't know. 4, 5, 6, 7 minutes, whatever it was. I stood there, and all of a sudden heard, bam, 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 bam. had heard about a dozen shots ringing there. When I heard those shots, I knew that my two friends, Tony and David, were dead. I knew that. And I knew about going back down to the pavilion. I knew I'd been dead too. But I stood there for a moment. Oh, and I said, maybe they're not dead. Maybe they're just swooning. Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they'll call out to me. Maybe they'll come back. And after about 2 or 3 minutes, they cried, Tony! David! They didn't respond. And I knew this time. I said, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. And I was so shook, my God, I was shook up so bad. Oh, and I got in that car. What mine was Tony's, but he didn't need it no more. I got in that car, and I began to hightail it back to Montgomery, Alabama. Oh, where I live. When I got back to Montgomery, does anybody know where I went to? Where? Not church. Better than Mama's house. Come on now. Mama's house. Come on now. And I promised before the Lord, I walked in that back door. As soon as I walked in that door, I heard Mama in the next room just praying away. And Mama heard me. Mama heard me come in. And Mama stopped. But she walked in the kitchen. She said, hey, son. I said, hey, Mama, dear. She said, where you been? Nowhere. What you been up to? Nothing. And all of a sudden, I said, Mama, tears were coming in her face. And Mama said, because she knew Tony and David. She said, the Lord told me that Tony and David are dead. Oh my God, my God. I mean, it shook me up again, but I said, whatever, Mama, because I don't want to start talking about the Lord. The Lord told me they're dead. Whatever, Mama, whatever, 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 whatever. Well, a few months later, I got saved. Thank God I got saved. Hallelujah. Now, I'll never forget, I said to my Mama, Mama, remember what happened a few months ago when I came home and you knew that Tony and David were dead? Yeah. I said, Mama, how'd you know that? Oh, what happened, Mama? What happened that day? What happened? And she says, son, I came home early that day from the studio. She was a professional photographer for about 50 some odd years. But I came home that day from the studio. And when I walked in the house, now there are 6 of us, 3 boys and 3 girls. I was number 6. But the Lord said, begin to pray. Mama had that burden to pray. Mama knew she wasn't praying for the 5. She knew she was praying for me. And Mama said, I didn't go onto the bedroom to change. I just dropped down on my knees on that kitchen floor. And I began to call upon the Lord, oh God, oh God. She said, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. She said, I must have prayed for 45 minutes or more. I don't know the time, at least 45 minutes. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh my God, my God, my God. She said, after about 45 minutes, she said, I stopped. I said, Lord, tell me please, what is going on? What am I praying about? And the Lord said, my daughter Danny is in grave danger right now. And if you ask me, I will dispatch an angel to watch over him. Mama said, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, dispatch that angel. And I believe to this day, the same angel that my God dispatched was the same angel that stood by my side. Come on, shout amen. But I'm here today in your great state of Kentucky. Why? Because I had a Holy Ghost mama that knew how to pray, that knew how to get a hold of the horns of the altar. Come on, shout amen. Raise your hands up high and begin to praise Him. How about just give me 5 more minutes? Come on, 5 more minutes. Hallelujah. That was November 71. November, December, January, February, March. Here was, I was going to go to court on March the 7th of 1972. Now, that was on a Tuesday, as you recall. And the week before I was going to court on that Tuesday, my mama woke up on the Monday morning to go to the studio. And the Lord said to my mama, don't go into the studio this week. Let the girls that work for you, let them run the studio. I want you to stay back all week long and fast and pray. And again, Mama knew who she'd be praying for. Mwah. And so Mama stayed back all week long to fast and pray. Not one morsel of food touched her lips all week long. But Mama stayed back to pray. Mama stayed back to pray. My little mama was an old line, old time, Holy Ghost, Pentecostal saint. Do you know the flavor I'm talking about? Come on now. Well, my mama, she began to pray. She'd pray and sway. Lord. I mean, like a Ray Charles number. Come on. Oh, Lord. And when Mama prayed, she said, oh, God, oh, God. And she let out, whoo, oh, God, whoo. And all week long, Mama prayed. I mean, she prayed on what? She prayed on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was on Sunday. And I was still praying. And that Sunday morning, Mom and Dad went to church. That was Sunday. Second row over there. But as soon as they walked in the sanctuary, where did Mama go? To the altar. Come on now. I remember before the service started, Mama was at the altar. Oh, God. Woo! Get a hold of my boy. Get a hold of my boy. Oh, God. Oh, God. I mean, throughout the praise and worship time, Mom was at the altar praying. During the preaching, Mom was at the altar praying. The altar time, Mama stood at the altar praying. Oh, she prayed, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And she told me later on, she says, son, I was crying, oh God, get a hold of my boy. Woo! Get a hold of my boy. And she said, the Holy Ghost spoke to her and said, my daughter, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. Today is Danny's day. Today is Danny's day. I'm going to set him free once and for all. This is his day. This is his day. And Mama jumped up and she took off running. Now she's a runner, a shouter, and a jerker at the same time. I tried one time to hurt my neck so quick. Come on out. Whoa, Mama took off running around that sanctuary. Came out where Daddy was on the second row, and she said, God did it, God did it, God did it, God has heard our prayer, and she took off again for that too. Come on now. She came back around, and she said to my daddy, let's leave the church service early. Let's don't go out and eat, let's go straight home, because today's his day, today's his day, today's his day. And so they left the church service early. They lived about 5 minutes from the church. They came pulling in the driveway right about here. It was 2:45. You can tell what time church got out in those days. Come on now. Well, they pulled in the driveway at home, and the split second they were pulling in, I was in the car of my next door neighbor, and we were coming in the same time. This was 2:45 Sunday afternoon. We were coming back from a Friday night party. Come on now. And so Mama saw us pulling in, and Mama said, today's his day. Today's his day. Today's his day. Oh, today's his day. Woo! And she was getting happy. Oh, Daddy, today's his day. Today's his day. Oh, she was getting happy. Well, I got out of my friend's car, Tommy's car. And I just got out. I began to walk across his lawn. Walking, weaving, staggering, stumbling. Now, you think it looked bad today? You should have saw me back then. Back at that time, had hair down to my butt. Had a scraggly beard. And still see the holes of my ear, can't you? From all the earrings. Come on now. And I had a bunch of earrings, long hair. I looked like a flashback from Woodstock or something. I don't know. And there it was. And I vomited all over myself. I mean, vomited my shirt and my beard. And Mama saw me from a distance. She said, today's his day. But when I got right there, right upon her, Mama said, Lord, are you sure? Come on now. And there it was. I'm talking about, I was so messed up. I was goofed up. My mouth was so sizzling and fried because of drugs. I couldn't talk right. I couldn't think right. My vocabulary is so limited. All I could say was, wow, yeah, hit it far out. Yeah. Anyhow, my mama said, why don't you go to the church tonight? I said, don't you ever mention that word. I will never, never, never darken the church, doors of a church as long as I live. That was like water off a duck's back. Come on now. But I went inside and I went upstairs, back bedroom, entered to wash the stuff out, you know, put on a fresh shirt. And here it was. But where'd Mama go? Downstairs at the altar. Come on, oh God, get a hold of my boy. Oh God. And I was up there. And I said, I got to get off. I got to get off. Because there's no lot of drugs. My mouth was so sizzling and fried. I got to get off. I got to get off. I got to get high. But all of a sudden, something happened. Somebody showed up. The Holy Spirit came. And I felt the peace. My body calmed down. My mind calmed down. And the Holy Spirit says, without Jesus, you're nothing. Without Jesus, you'll never amount to anything. You need Jesus. I said, I need something. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And then I went downstairs a little bit later for something. I don't remember what it was. But Mom would ever get me to go back to church. Mom says, son, I know you said don't ask you, but I'm going to ask you again. Why don't you go as a church? I said, well, okay. Give me just a moment to get ready. I went back upstairs. I put on my best leather, you know, to put on my best earrings, you know. Got to look good to go to church. Come on out. And so they were outside in the car waiting for me. And so I went downstairs getting ready to get into the back seat of the car. And all of a sudden, somebody showed up. Who was it? It was my three best friends. And they said, hey, come here. Yeah. They said, come on, it's party time. It was always party time for us. Come on now. Hey, come on now. I said, now y'all go ahead. I got something I got to go take care of. I didn't want them to know I was going where? Church. They said, come on now. I said, nah. They said, come on. Come on. And that spirit of lust has gripped me. They said, hey, we got a bunch of booze, a bunch of good dope. Come on out. I said, yeah. I told my mom and dad, go ahead. I'm going with my friends. And as soon as I told my mom and dad I'm going with my friends, the Lord spoke to my daughter. Said, my daughter, whatever you will speak over him right now, I will do it for you because of the covenant I've got with you. And my mama said to my daddy, now my mom and dad, that's Lawrence and Florence. Come on now. And Florence said, Lawrence, yeah, baby, just agree with me now when I pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come against all alcohol and all drugs he'll put in his system. He won't get off on his mind, his blood, his body won't be affected in no shape, fashion, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go, Daddy. And so they went straight to church. Well, where did Mama go? Altar. Daddy went to the second row. But here we were riding around town, me and my three best friends. We were friends since 3 and 4 years of age, growing up on the same block. Here we were, driving around town, smoking, doping, drinking, booze. They were getting higher and higher and higher. But guess what happened to me? Nothing. I said, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? And here it was, my life was a mess. I said, I can't even get to hide anymore. My God, have mercy, Jesus. And I said, here, man, I've already been to prison once. My life's a mess. I got kicked out of every 4 public high schools in Montgomery, Alabama. I said, I'm facing time possible 40 years in the penitentiary. I mean, here am I, 19, turning 20 in a few days. My life's a mess. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. But all of a sudden, the back seat of that car, somebody showed up again. Who was it? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, without Jesus, you're nothing. Without Jesus, you'll never amount to anything. You need Jesus. Over and over again, the Holy Spirit kept saying, without Jesus, you're nothing. Without Jesus, you'll never amount to anything. You need Jesus. And finally, Tommy, who's driving, he turned down this one road. We hardly ever went down that road. But he turned that road, and when I looked up, guess what I saw? The church. Woo! I said, Tommy, pull in that church parking lot. He said, to what? I said, pull in that church parking lot. He said, to what? I said, just pull in. He pulls in there. I said, let me out of that car. I was in the back seat of that 69 GTO. Come on now. I wish you had it now. Woo! But white man, boba. But they pulled in. I said, let me out of this car. And he said, for what? I said, I'm going to that church service. They all said, to what? And so I walk in there in that cold, cold winter night. Had that long hair, scraggly beard. Remember those old leather jackets? You had some too, didn't you? Come on now. I walked in the back door of a long, long, narrow sanctuary. The only way in and out were those back doors. And I came walking that back door that night, that cold, cold winter night. I looked like a flashback from Woodstock. Come on now. And I walked in. As soon as I walked in, I could hear some of the saintly, sanctified ones now say, my God, look at him, the nerve of him coming in like that. Somebody ought to ask him to leave right now. How could he dare come into a holy place like this? Somebody ought to kick him out right now. I heard that kind of stuff. Come on, church. Come on. You think it looked bad back in those days? Well, let me tell you, some new generation in days and weeks and months to come, coming through these doors are going to be looking a lot worse than I did. Young people coming in, long hair, green hair, no hair, spiked hair, everything that can be tattooed and pierced and branded with every kind of habit and hang up and addiction that's known to man. But guess who they are? They're future apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries, psalmists, workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Well, they came in. Oh, and guess where mom was at the altar? And I stood there. And all of a sudden, my friends, they drove off. That was the last time my three friends, myself, the four of us, were ever together again. Whenever we're together again, to force them the rest of our lives. What happened to the other three? Houston Dixon, he's serving 3 life sentences in Louisiana Penitentiary. Life without murder, ripping 3 guys off the drugs. Malcolm Scoggins, he overdosed on heroin in 1974, died and went to hell. Neighbor Tommy Shaw, he plays lead guitar with a group called Styx. But I got something better than Houston, Malcolm, or Tommy, because Jesus got a hold of me and it won't let go. Come on, shout amen. Woo! So they're saying, somebody ought to ask him to leave. And I was standing back there. Now all of a sudden, Brother Michael, somebody put an arm around me. I looked. When I did, it was a man by the name of Harry Horton. He knew me from the day I was born. But he never criticized me, never judged me, never put me down. He was a true man of God. He always loved on me with the love of the Lord. And Harry put his arm around me. He said, Danny, He said, welcome to the house of God. He said, why don't you sit on down here next to me? And we'll sit on the very last row. I was quickly becoming a Pentecostal. Come on now. We sit on the very last row. And I sat down. As soon as I sat down, the pastor got up behind the pulpit. He said, everybody stand. I just sat down. Everybody stand. Well, I stood up. He said, folks, I know we've had a great time tonight, but it's time to close. Will you bow your head and close your eyes? So I bowed my head and closed my eyes. He said, if I look up, I said, my God, what's going on? I sat down and has a stand. He said, bow your head and close your eyes. And I said, look up. I looked up. He said, everybody just hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Trust me, I was. Come on now. I was holding on. He said, folks, I know people have been saved and healed and filled and thrilled and blessed. But I feel there's one more. There's one more. He started pointing back toward a different direction. But guess what? He's pointing right at me. Yeah, there's one more. There's one more. Your life is a mess. Your life is all goofed up. Your life is nothing but a giant mess. He said, whoever you are. I said, you know who I am? You're pointing right at me, Mike. You're pointing right at me, Mike. He said, whoever you are. I said, myself, he knows it's me. It's me. It's me. He said, I don't know who you are. I said, yes, you do too. He said, whoever you are, I feel led of the Lord to say something to you tonight. Without Jesus, you're nothing. Without Jesus, you'll never amount to anything. You need Jesus. When he said that, I don't know if I got to start walking down the aisle to the altar or an angel to be down there. But the next thing, I was across an altar and I was beginning to pray the only way and how to pray. I said, oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God. And as soon as I hit that altar, about 35 to 40 saints that gathered around about me, they said, bind this and loosen this, rebuking that and casting out that. Come on, somebody. And one of them had me under the throat, shaking my throat, and said, give it up, give it up, give it up, give it up. Now you give it up. Come on. Yeah. One said, just hang on, hang on, hang on. One said, let go, let go. I don't know, should I hang on or let go or do it both? I didn't know. And about another five people behind me give me a Pentecostal rub down. You've seen that before, haven't you? Come on. Oh, I said, Lord, you got to save me and give me some relief from all these saints. Come on now. Ooh, I was praying. But guess what? Mama was praying too over there. Hallelujah. And about the time the pastor's wife came over to my mama, still kneeling, it was a curved altar. And Mama was over here. She couldn't see me over there. A curved altar. And she said, Florence, isn't that your boy over there? Isn't that Danny? I haven't saw Danny in years. But I think that might be Danny. Mama jumped up. Come on, Mama jumped up. And Mama looked up there, couldn't see me for all the people. I don't know, can't see him, I don't know. And by that time, the people kind of moved back. Like Moses parted the Red Sea. They moved back. Mama saw me, that's all it took. And by that time, Mama took off. Wow! I said, there goes Mama, come on now. And then when the pastor said, everybody stand. Everybody stood but two people. But who was it? My mama, who was kneeling, and my dad sitting down the second row, and dad didn't see me come either. So mom came around there and said, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God said, today's the day. Let's stand in there. Daddy jumped up too. They came over there. They said, let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. I got saved. My sin was washed away. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. But still, I was bound by alcoholism and drug addiction. And also, I had my body was a mess. I weighed about 110 pounds less than I do right now. I had Johns of hepatitis C. I had two gunshot wounds in my left leg that would not heal. But they came over. They said, Lord, set him free. And instantly, I was set free from all the habits. And instantly, he healed my body. Come on, shout amen. Oh, glory, glory, glory. But Mama didn't give up on me. Hallelujah. Of course, she knew how to get a hold of God in prayer. What about you, church? Come on, shout amen. I close with this. 2 days later, I went back to court. I went back to court. I was facing 40 years for those five felony charges. When I got there, and by the way, the district attorney did not like me at all. Had a personal dislike for me because I cussed out and spit on him before. At that time, I never read the book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I should have read the book. Come on now. But I got to the courtroom that day and said to my lawyer, I said, why don't you talk to the DA and ask him what kind of deal I can get if I plead guilty on all charges. He doesn't like you. I know he doesn't. But I'll ask him. He comes back. He said, I tell you what, today's your lucky day. It was a luck. I was already walking in the favor of God. Woo! Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll plead guilty on all charges, had dropped it down from 40 years to 10 years. How many 10 years is a lot better? Come on now. I said, that's good, that's good. And so my case number was called up, but the first one called up that day in the state of Alabama versus Danny Johnston. And the same judge that sent me to prison the first time. He said, anything you want to say before I pass sentence on you? Because I already agreed upon the 10 years. And I said, no, man, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. He said, okay then. He picks up the gavel. I said, wait a minute. I'll never forget like it was yesterday. I said, wait a minute. He said, what? I said, don't you know something, Judge? He said, what's that? I said, I'm a different person now than I used to be. Now, that wasn't me. I used to be quiet and timid and shy, an ultra introvert. But I just started speaking out. I said, I'm a different person now than I used to be. I'm a different person now than I got arrested last. I'm a different person now than I was a couple nights ago. And Judge Richard J. Emmett says, what do you mean by that? I said, Judge, I don't know how to say it, but I said, but Sunday night, I went to church and asked Jesus to get a hold of my life and it won't let go. And Judge Emmett came down with that gavel. Psh, let's have a 15-minute recess. Who was in the back row? Lawrence and Florence and the pastor. Just a hickamo shine. Come on down. And so here was the judge went to his chambers. But also there was another pastor there. He was a neighbor that lived about 2 houses down from me. And then I thought it was about Simon Lass to torment him. His name was John Stallings. He wrote songs like, old songs like Learning to Lean. Remember those songs? Love Grew the Blood Flow. He's got 2 daughters that are great songwriters. You know, Martha Meduzzi and Mary Lessie. But John, he got up. He was there too. He went to the courtroom. He walked around to the judge's office. He told the secretary, will you tell Judge Jim, I've got to see him. I'm sorry, sir. He's in session today. Nobody can see him. Will you please tell him it's an emergency? I'm sorry, sir. Will you please just tell him that Pastor John Stallings has to see him? It's an emergency. He leans in the words, Judge, there's a Pastor John Stallings. He's got to see. It's an emergency. Come on in, John. And so John Stallings goes in. He said, Judge, all I can say is this. I know that young man out there. He's been a terror. But he got a hold of Jesus. And Jesus got a hold of him. There's been a mighty change in his life. He said, if that's what you say, John, I believe it. He came back out there again. He says, I'm going to take the 10 years and drop it down to 13 months. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I had a Holy Ghost mama. What are you saying? I'm saying it's time to get back to the altar. Come on, praise team. Come on, praise team. Come on, hallelujah. Come on. It's time to get back to the altar. Hallelujah. It's time to, oh, come on, church. Raise your hands. Everybody stand right now. Come on, church. Raise your hands and begin to praise Him. Raise your hands and begin to magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. If you begin to pray, God is going to get a hold of your loved ones. Hallelujah. God's going to get a hold of your family, your sons, and your daughters. Come on now. The fire will fall when we get back to the altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Always continue that season. Let us begin to pray. Oh, come on, praise team. Raise your hands, church. Lead us out one time, praise team. Come on now. Lead us out, raise your hands, begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God, 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 a mighty God. Raise your hands and exalt Him. Raise your hands and magnify the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Shalabakutaya. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Come on. Raise your hand. Begin to praise Him. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come on, sing. Come on, sing. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done for me and for you. Yeah.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me. Just in time, oh, I'm on.
To praise His name, yeah. Each day is just the same.
I want to praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look what the Lord has done.
Look what what the Lord has done. Hallelujah.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me just in time. Oh,
I'm going to praise His name. Hallelujah.
He said just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Oh, yeah. Look what
the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me. Just in time, oh, I'm going to praise His name.
Look what the Lord has done. One more time, yeah.
Look what the Lord has done.
Look what the Lord has done.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise His name. His name is just the same. Go on and praise Him.
Look what the Lord has done. Somebody raise your hands and praise Him. Yeah. Well, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me just in time. Oh,
I'm going to praise His name.
He said it's just the same.
Oh, hallelujah.
Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord,
has done. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah.
What the Lord has done. He healed my
body. He touched my mind.
He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm
glory, glory, glory.
He said just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
I want you to reach over right now. Everybody reach over. Just take the hand of your neighbor. Come on, take the hand of your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. Everybody, come on. If you're by yourself, go to somebody. Go to somebody. If you're by yourself, go to somebody. Go to somebody. Come on now. Everybody join hands. Come on, everybody join hands. Come on, everybody join. We're not getting married. We're just praying. Come on now. Just reach over and join hands. And I want you to pray one for another. I want you to pray that God will get a hold of that brother, get a hold of that sister, and God will put a spirit of prayer upon them, that they'll begin to be a man of prayer, a woman of prayer, that they'll rise up and be a prayer giant, a prayer warrior. I want you to begin to pray right now for that brother, that sister. Come on now, begin to pray right now. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray right now for every man, every woman here in New Generation Church. I pray, God, for the leadership of this church, everyone that is here, God, that you begin to stir our hearts, that we will begin to pray and pray and pray like never before. Hallelujah. Always to pray, continue in prayer, to pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, praise Him. Oh, glory. Yeah, Lord. Come on, touch my brother, touch my sister, Lord. Woo, glory! Glory! Oh, come on, somebody. Can somebody shout amen? Can somebody shout a bigger amen? I carry it with me. A prayer cloth. I've had this prayer cloth that I've carried with me now for 16 years. In 2008, my heart was a mess. Had triple bypass surgery. I died twice on the operating table. But guess what? I'm back. Hallelujah. But I was rushed to the hospital. I collapsed, open heart surgery was having trouble with my past. And I got to the hospital there the next morning. I was hanging on. And a friend of mine, David Weeder, that's Kenneth Copeland's armor bearer. That's Brother Copeland's right hand man, his assistant. They was a good personal friend of mine. David said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, I'm in the hospital." He said, "Do what?" I said, "Yeah, I had a massive heart attack and I'm scheduled for a major surgery." He said, "Well, I tell you what. Today, Brother Copeland's going to be meeting with about 100 well-known international ministers from all around the world. Now I'm going to bring a prayer call. I'm going to have as many as can. Great, anointed men of God from Brazil, from India, from Africa, around the world. Come and lay their hands upon that prayer call. Come on, shout amen." And I got it the day before I was to have the surgery. I pinned it in my hospital gown. You know the gown that's cut out in the back? I pinned it to that. They tried to take away and give me a new gown. I said, "Okay, but give me the prayer cloth. Come on now." And God touched my body. Come on, shout amen. And it was so severe, so bad. I said, "Oh God." I said, "I need the best. I need the best." Who's the very best? Now the hospital where I was, they said it was too dangerous the way things were. And we Googled who's the best cardiosurgeon on the East Coast. The name popped up, Dr. Michael Ragosta. And for the past 10 years, he had been voted one of the top 10 cardiosurgeons in the world. Come on now. And he was in Charlottesville, Virginia. I called up there. And they said, "We can't take him. There's at least about a 3-week waiting list." God said, "Son, leave it to me." I was hanging on for life. Woo! But it had a, at that time, it had my mama still around praying for me. Woo! Had that prayer cloth. They called back about an hour later and said, "Hey, we just got an opening. We called everybody else. They can't get here. But if you can get him here, we'll take him." That's one of the largest cardio units on the East Coast with about 20 cardio surgeons. I didn't know who I was going to get. When I got there, a man walked in the room. He said, "I'm Dr. Michael Ragosta. Whoa! I'm going to be yours." Guess what? God healed me. And since that time, I carry that prayer cloth. Woo! Hallelujah. Because it's not the cloth, as Pastor said earlier. It's not the cloth, but it is the faith of those many, many men of God from around the world that lay hands upon it. It's the anointing of God that's upon it. Come on, shout amen. You just brought your prayer cloth tonight. I don't just go through the motion, but God told me to do this. And Pastor Michael, we've got testimony galore. One young boy had severe allergies for about 8 years. But this is back in last of January. He wore a little coat 24/7. He loved that coat. The mama pinned that prayer cloth on his body. And just after a few days, no more allergies. Come on, shout amen. A lady there by the name of Angel Jordan. She had a continual cough for months. Forever. But guess what? She got that prayer cloth. And guess what? No more coughing. Come on, shout amen. People are healed. People are healed. Blood clots dissolve in the name of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Heart conditions healed. Come on. It's not the prayer cloth. It's the faith. It's the anointing. But also it is the obedience. Come on, shout. Obey God. If you brought a prayer cloth with you tonight, would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. Woo! If you brought a prayer cloth with you, hold it up high. If somebody beside you needs one, give an extra one, give it to them. Because God's going to turn it around. God's going to turn it around. I want those and this section here, and those in this section here, we'll pray for this section later, but those in this section here, and this section here, I want you to come up to the front, stand across the front. Come on now. Hallelujah. Is that bottle of oil here, brother? Is it oil here? The oil. These two sections, come and stand across the front. Oh, we need a gallon jug. Come on now. God. Can somebody shout amen? And also, as I lay hands upon these prayer cloths, if you need healing in your body, I would that they shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Do you believe that? Hold those prayer cloths out if you would in the name of the Lord. Hold them out. Let me, Father God, in the name of Jesus, put them together. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Father, we do this in obedience to you. As you, Father God, directed me to do this. In the mighty name of Jesus, we send for this prayer cloth. And faith, Lord. We believe the anointing of God shall destroy the yokes of bondage. In Jesus' name. Leshabatata. Shupapopo. Mikhail. Also, let God touch your body, honey. Let Him touch your body. You need a healing in your body tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we sent for these prayer calls. And don't worry, brother. God said everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Father, bless this young man. Bless this young man. La Shabbatupaya. Oh. What you've been believing God for ever since the first of the year, God said, is going to happen before this year is over, honey. Get ready. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, by faith, we send forth these prayer calls. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, we sent for these prayer cloths. And brother, get ready. God's going to touch you. Touch your body right now. The healing. Shabakatala. Shakatatara. Hashakatara. 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 Be healed in your body. Whoa, set him free, Lord. Set him free. Father God, in the name of Jesus. In faith, we sent for these prayer cloths, Lord. And the anointing of God shall destroy. There it is. Get ready. God's going to touch you. Hallelujah. Lay your hands right there, honey. Lay your hands right there. I just see the anointing of God touching you right there, honey. Something's happening. I see God touching the lower area, the stomach area, the intestinal area. There's an issue that is there. Be healed. That's it. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Get ready. That God, we're believing God together. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we lay hands upon these prayer cloths in faith. We believe the anointing of God shall destroy a yoke of bondage. By faith, we send it forth, God, in the name of the Lord. God said, hold on, brother. God said, those things are coming to you. It's not of yourself, it is of God. There's some divine ideas that have been coming to you. You've been saying, God, is it you or is it me? It is God. And God said, get ready. I'm going to work it out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, a couple of days. Father God, will you? Oh, yeah. Woo! That's it, honey. Masipatatatatatuka migo. Hallelujah. Your muscles be healed. Hallelujah. Arthritis in your body. up and down the spine. Hand of a super catheter of a dope. Let be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, oh. I keep hearing over arthritis down the spine. Hallelujah. Is that right? Yeah. Whoa. Hallelujah. Oh, let go, let go, let go, let go, let go. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Get ready, honey. Oh, I hear the Lord saying, hold on, my daughter. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to turn it around. Everybody said, no, 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 no. But God said, hold on, my daughter. I'm going to turn it all around in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ha. Shiloko. Meshepo. In the name of Jesus. Shakabahutaya. Oh, Kalabandikaya. In the name of the Lord. Father, by faith, we agree together, Lord. That's it. How about your bone structure, your legs down the hips, the legs. Be healed, your bones. Your bones be healed, bro. Ha ha, Satan. I see that thing, that it was a liar. When I lay my hands upon you, then upon that part, you're going to be healed. The moment I lay my hands upon you, you're going to feel the healing power of Almighty God. You believe that? Ha ha! Woo! Sakamba home, guys! It's in that prayer call, four of all. In the name of Jesus! Father, it's simple, this prayer call. In the name of Jesus. The anointing of God will do the work, Father. We're believing together, Lord, in faith. In faith it shall be done. Father God, I agree with my brother right now as he stands in faith, Lord. You're doing mighty work in the name of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Yeah, Father God, in the name. Get ready, honey. Get ready. Shabakatu Sapphire. God's going to touch your body. Hear the Lord saying, I'm going to speak to your whole body. But I hear the Lord saying, your blood. Hallelujah. There's a weakness in your body. Hallelujah. There's an iron deficiency, the Lord says. Yeah. And God said, yeah, is that right? Yeah. And God's going to touch your blood. In the name of Jesus. And we sit for this prayer call right now. In the name of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. In this section here, come on up. All the way down. Oh, sing it again one more time. Yeah, come on, girl. Come on, guys. Come on, yeah.
Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah.
He healed my body.
Move on down.
He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm gonna.
There you go, yeah. Now raise your hands, we're going to praise Him. Come on now.
I want to praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Oh, yeah.
Look what
yeah, come
the
on.
Ha ha,
suck up. Okay.
Look what the Lord
come on in.
Has done.
Come on closer.
He healed my body.
Come on in closer.
Closer. He saved me just in time.
I need some more oil. Don't worry, honey. God said you've lost a whole bunch. But God says, I'm getting ready to bless you like never before. Hallelujah. Whoa! Yeah, don't let her lose that prayer call. Raise your hands, brother. Oh, in the name of the Lord, we sit for the Ukaha Ziba Hatana Mahudai. Praise Him now. Yeah, Lord, now the anointing of the Holy Ghost is sent forth now. In the name of Jesus, now. Now. In the name of... Get ready, honey, get ready. Your answer's on the way. Your answer's on the way.
Just in time, oh, I'm going to praise His
name. Yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord, yeah, Lord.
He said,
come a Hosea.
Woo!
Oh, come on, praise Him. Feel the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Don't let her lose the prayer call. Brother, get ready. Get ready. Get ready.
Just in time, oh, I'm going to
praise Him. Let him on down. Let him on down. Let him on down. Now, Lord, now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we believe, Lord. Is that right? Is that the Holy Ghost? Tell me, you've got some problems in the respiratory system. Is that right? How do I know that? The Lord, hallelujah! Whoa! Hallelujah! We send it for the Lord. No more fear. No more fear. No more fear. No more fear. Honey, take it.
Just in time, oh, I'm going to praise His name.
Oh, yeah.
Just the same. I'm going to praise Him.
Yeah.
Look what the Lord has done. Ooh, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done.
Get ready, brother. Get ready.
Heal my body.
Light out of those two tires. In the name of Jesus. Receive your answer.
Oh, I'm going to praise His name. He said it's just the same.
Get ready. Hallelujah. Take it, honey. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Get ready. In the name of Jesus, we send it forth. Whoa. Get ready, honey.
He touched my mind.
In the name of Jesus, receive your answer. Oh, come on, somebody praise Him. Raise your hands up, darling.
Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has
done. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Now, 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 in the name of Jesus, take the anointing of God upon your life. Hallelujah. Hold it, brother, hold it. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, we send forth in faith now. Woo! Can somebody shout amen? Can somebody shout a bigger amen? Raise your hands up, brother. I'm the most sick fire. Touch Him, Lord. For the Holy Ghost. Whoa!
Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord
has done. Look what the Lord has done.
He healed my body.
He touched my mind.
He saved me just in time. Oh,
one more time, raise your hands and praise Him. Did somebody shout amen?
Hallelujah, amen.
God bless this praise team. Whatever you're believing God for, God's going to turn it for you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Get ready, honey. This is the anointing of God's upon you in a fresh way tonight. Raise your hands up. Raise it up right now. Hallelujah. There's some things you're dealing with right now. Some things you're up against. You're not told Pastor Mike or Pastor Nat. You're not told this one, this one, this one. But God said, I've heard your heart's cry, my daughter. I know what you're going through. I know the things you're up against. The Lord said, do not worry because I've gone before you. And everything's going to be okay. You're going to see a mighty change, a mighty turnaround, a mighty shifting. Yeah, God's want to raise you to a higher level in your life. Yeah, God's used you from the praise team. Thank God for this praise team. I thank God for each and every one of you, those that minister in any capacity. But your heart, you've been saying, God, use me more and more. But hell's been fighting you. Hell's been trying to sift you. Because he knows that God is about ready to shift you. Hallelujah. So God says, press on in like never before. Press on in. Press on in. Press on in. Press on in. Can somebody shout amen? I love you, Lord. I don't know how much you pray now, but you pray. But can I challenge you? Can I challenge you? 4 times every month, I pray. Now, I pray every day, of course. But there's 4 times a month. There's a little place not far from home. I live about a few miles from Bowie's Parkway. There's a little place in Bowie's Parkway. I go, and I just spend. I usually get there about 7 in the morning. I'm there all morning, all afternoon, all night. I get home later that night. About 4 times a month, and I pray for friends. I may be praying for you guys. I promise before, I've only said this to about 3 or 4 churches in 51 years of ministry. But I'm I pray for your pastor all the time. I send from time to time, I send about Danny's daily devotions. It takes them out. But I pray for Pastor Michael, Miss Annette, this great church. But this Tuesday, 2 days from now, is one of my prayer days. And I promise when I spend time on Tuesday, I'm praying that God is going to bless you like you've never been blessed before. I pray God is going to touch you like you've never been touched before. And I would encourage you, if you've not been a person to pray, pray. I mean consistently. Not once in a great, great while, but start praying. If you're not praying on a regular basis, why don't you say, Lord, I'm going to start praying 10 minutes a day. That's not much. Yeah, but if you've been praying zilch, that's a lot. I encourage you to pray 10 minutes a day, then 15, 20, 30 minutes a day. An hour a day. Hallelujah. When I'm driving in the highways, I'm praying. In my car out there, on the front seat, what do I have? I have a Bible. And my truck, guess what? I've got a Bible. Because I pull up to a red light. And it's a long red light. I start reading my Bible. Well, how do you know when the light turns green? They'll let me know. But I'm going to begin this Tuesday praying for you guys. Pastor Michael, praying for you, my brother. Praying for New Generation Church. But if you'll begin to pray like never before, God's going to make a way. Can somebody shout amen? I had 6 pages of notes tonight. But God didn't let me get to the notes. Is that okay? He just said, speak out of your heart. Tell how God moved in other areas of the people. Guess what? He did it for me. He'll do it for you. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. If you're a Christian, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, if you've asked Jesus to come into your life, will you raise a hand right now? Put them up. Both hands. Put them up. Put them up. Everybody but the keyboard player. God is so good. I love you, church. You're a great bunch. I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to come and this low-key, quiet, calm, sedate preacher to come to your church today. And I covet your prayers, too. Because we're getting ready to go back to Nicaragua again. We're believing God for thousands to be saved.
I've got an invitation to go back to India again, the land of the million gods. I've got invitations to go back to numerous places. And I don't want to go just to have another notch of my gospel gun, but I want to go in kingdom business. As I go this year, I ask you to pray for me, that God will give me much food for my labor. I love you, church. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come. God bless you. It's yours. Take it away with the microphone.